Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. People have been texting boxing. Just boxing. And at GPander78 on Twitter said, for us to pass this along, when you do that, I guess you get a return text saying thank you for entering.
Powered
by 102.5 The Game. So that way you know you are locked into the contest. So there you go.
If you don't get that, that means you did it wrong.
Remember, thank you for entering. This is a return text powered by 102.5 The Game.
Easy peasy.
That's all you have to do.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Tonight, Predators in Calgary to take on the Flames. This will be game two of this four-game road trip. They'll be in Edmonton on Saturday night, and then they'll be in Vancouver Monday night to close things out. So 8 o'clock puck drop tonight. I'll have pregame for you starting at 7. It can be heard, all that can be heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Let's bring in former Vanderbilt legend. How about that for a title? Mm-hmm. Don't we all want to be called a legend?
He definitely is a legend.
He was really, really good. If you didn't see his playing days at Vanderbilt, I'm sorry. Go back and look. He was really good. Jordan Matthews is on the line with us. Jordan, how you doing?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Been a while since we've talked. You been up to anything? Were you busy last weekend? You know, a lot of people forgot that, you know, you're with the 49ers. You were kind of down to Miami and everything.
Man, I didn't forget, man. We was running around everywhere, bro. It was a crazy week. I was fortunate to have my family there to enjoy it. My son was there and my wife, too. She had a couple games in the CONCACAF tournament down in Texas, too. So she had, like, a game versus Mexico, Canada, flew in for the game, and then had to fly right back, and then had a game versus St. Kitts 2 days ago. Now she's back in Alabama with my son, so I fly back to Nashville today, and I'll meet up with the crew, man. So it's been a busy time. This is kind of our norm. So to some people it seems hectic, but to us it's like this is kind of what we're used to, but we're blessed, man.
Jordan, I don't want to hear your son having a bad day when he gets older because, you know, that gene pool of you and your wife, I mean, he better be really good at sports, man. He's got a lot of advantages already.
Yeah, if he's not, I'm like, that's your fault. I saw your mom and I thought of you, you know. And so if you can't, you know what I'm saying, running Leafs a 4-4, dad had nothing to do with that, brother.
No doubt about it. So I do want to, because we've brought you on for a variety of things, but I think we need to start with what took place a couple of days ago and just get your thoughts because we've had a lot of people come on. In fact, we had another Jordan come on that day and Jordan Rogers. And, you know, we've had a lot of former players kind of lend their thoughts and viewpoints of Vanderbilt Athletics and the story that came out and Malcolm Turner resigning, fired, whatever you want to call it, out. Candace Story Lee in. We live here, but you're tied to the university. You talk to a lot of people. Just kind of give us your thoughts on everything.
Yeah, man, you know, I love my university. That's for sure, man. It was my only scholarship offer. And so I think just that alone, I didn't spend too much time comparing and contrasting Vanderbilt with other schools, other places. Like my whole college and high school experience was about just learning about the school and appreciating it for what it was. Now, as far as what took place, a couple of days ago, obviously, you know, when Malcolm came in, it brought a lot of excitement. I think anytime you bring new blood into an organization, there is that level of excitement. Sometimes you can say in the NFL, change is sometimes just as good as winning. Because, you know, when you're winning, the building feels good. And then when there's change, a lot of times people feel really good. Like, okay, you know, they'll get really excited basically about, you know, what's going on or whatever. And so when the news came that Malcolm was no longer going to be with us, you know, obviously I know a lot of people, that was a disappointment because you look at it, it's like, dang, like, do we have hope? Like, if somebody can't come in and you know, essentially get this thing going with that type of excitement around, if there was reason for him or her to leave like that soon, I think it would, I think naturally for some people it would warrant a little bit of pessimism. But, you know, I think there's a lot of factors, man, that we always have to think about. You know, obviously the loss of David Williams is huge. That's huge in a community, okay? So, you know, a man of that stature coming in after somebody like that too and not even having that type of covering, I mean, I can't imagine how much David would have just helped Malcolm along in those first couple weeks, months, you know, this year, you know, that person to kind of speak to and confide in. But David wasn't there, so you kind of lose that covering. And then just obviously a new space, a new place, you know, and with the stuff that Vanderbilt presents as far as its obstacles, it's going to be a lot harder than pretty much every other school in the country. And so I think a lot of those factors might have played a part. I don't know for sure, but I know obviously David being there definitely would have helped. Yeah. Now, that's the bad downside. Okay. The good side is I'm really excited about Candace, though. I can go on about that. I want to hear some more of you guys' questions. But
that's what we want to hear, because, Jordan, everybody has the same message. And I'm not going to – I watched her play. I haven't been around her much. I hope that all changes now. We hope to have her on the show in studio, get to know her a lot more. But everybody has the same things. Everybody glows about her. So my interest is piqued. I want to know why everybody kind of has the same message. You were an athlete there. She was an athlete there. I know your paths across. I know you know her well. So tell us more. Tell us your perspective.
Yeah. Oh no. It's just the thing about Candace, and you gotta just respect it. She's gone through the rankings. You know, she, you know, from playing here, undergrad, getting your master's here, getting your PhD here, working in compliance, moving up, and then now to sit at the AD seat. You know, you talk about not having to worry about somebody micromanaging, because they're going to know, okay, if I'm putting somebody in this position here, I know exactly the job that this person has to get done. I really don't have to sit over them and watch them over their shoulder to know if that job's getting done, because I've done it before. I can kind of tell if that person is fit for the position. Lots of times we get in these situations where we hire someone to a business and you give them this high position because of, you know, God knows what, whether it be nepotism, whether it be just their name. And then they have no idea what the person three levels down is doing because they've never had to go up through the rankings. You know, that's why the best college – I mean, my coach here, Kyle Shanahan, think about this now. Kyle's dad was Mike Shanahan, legendary coach. Kyle still had to go be a grad assistant. You know, he wanted to go through the rankings and learn. I think that's what makes Kyle such a great coach now, because he knows what it's like to be an assistant. He knows what it's like to just be a receiver's coach. So he knows – the people that need to be in those positions, and he knows the type of job they need to get done. And he's not going to be freaking out because it's not like he hasn't somewhat seen it. I think that's one thing that Candace brings to the table that's really good. The other thing is alumni support, and that's a huge thing. I truly believe that the alumni is going to be behind her, and she's been around long enough too to know the alumni to that she should really, you know, you can't just take advice from everybody. Let's just be honest, you know? And I don't say that to slight anyone. I think some of the guys you mentioned, obviously I love my boy Jay Raj. That's a good person to have on the show. His opinions, I think, make a ton of sense. But I think Candace, because she's been around, she's going to know the right people and say, okay, I can take this with a grain of salt, or, hey, I really need to take what this person is saying into consideration, because they know, you know, kind of what Vanderbilt needs.
Talking to Jordan Matthews, former Vandy wide receiver, now with the 49ers. And based off of what you just said, I look at the steps that this university can take. Because I grew up here, Jordan. I went to games all the time. The first football game I ever saw was a Vanderbilt football game. So I know that stadium well. And I am a fan, and I want to see them take the next steps. And hearing you talk about Candace and what she can do and being a part of the university, that makes me feel really good about it. But it's the people around her that I worry about, of getting more involvement there, of having them get on the same page. How do you think she'll be able to do that?
You know, I think the first step one is going to be taking a hard look at that. You know, and like I said, I still mostly saw it at the athlete level. You know, I would say this year when they started getting into figuring out the strategic plan to push the athletic program forward, I got to maybe sit in a couple more meetings or have talks on that level with people who aren't athletic directing or football ops. So I started to see a different side of college football. So I'm not going to speak as if I know all the ins and outs of what needs to happen. But I do believe that Candace is going to be able to have the hard conversations with people, and she's going to be able to start to, like, figure out, okay, like, who should be in these seats, who needs to maybe switch up their role, or where are some areas that we need to pivot to kind of get this thing going. Obviously, people talk about the main two revenue-building sports as far as football and basketball. I'm a huge supporter of Coach Mason. I love Mason. I love what he stands for. You know, I think those two areas obviously are going to be the big ones of conversation. And trust me, those are going to be where she's going to be the most scrutinized, because she doesn't have that covering that maybe a new guy like Malcolm would have. Like, oh, well, he's new. So it's like Kansas has been here. She's been around, you know, the football program with Coach Mason at the helm. She, you know, and so she's going to get a lot of that scrutiny, but I do believe she's going to handle it well, man. You watch how Candace moves. She's like the Vanderbilt Michelle Obama. Like, she's as professional as they come, and I think that people have a high level of respect for her, you know. And so I think people are going to want to get their job done. I think even the fact that, well, we got that win versus LSU last night, I don't think that's by any coincidence. I already think some of that energy and some of that spirit is going to pick up around Vanderbilt because – of the type of person that we have at the helm now with Candace there too. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be willing to help any way possible. I actually am getting my master's in sports administration at Northwestern right now, so I can get in these conversations and actually know what the heck I'm talking about and not just be another person tweeting, you know. So, yeah, I'm really excited, though, about where we're headed. I know there's going to be some hard conversations that need to be had, but like I said, the facilities, all those things, I get it. Look, my best friend, Jonathan Krause, he's an assistant receivers coach at Oregon. He tells me about that dang fountain he walks past every single day. I understand the uphill climb that we have to compete when it comes to facilities with other programs. But I'm telling you right now, and it's just the God honest truth, if we don't make sure we have the people in place to continue to push the program forward, win. Like, we got to be, like, when it comes to bringing coaches in, bringing people in these positions that are going to be around the players, helping them, the recruiting, like, not just getting caught up in, okay, this guy's got to offer him this school, so he must be a good player. Let's offer him and give him to Vanderbilt to increase our signing class ranking. No, we got to have the right scouting team in line to make sure, hey, they know what those prospects look like. I don't care if this is a one-star, two-star. He can make it at Vanderbilt. He's going to be a good player. Like, it's all about the people, because once you start winning and you increase the product on the field, I feel like that's when the revenue comes. I feel like that's when a lot of the other stuff starts to take place. The facilities, we definitely need to make changes, and I think they've already started the process of making changes, and I'm excited about that. But I'm always about the people, man, always. If you can put the right people in place, then a lot of that other stuff takes care of itself, and I think Chance is the person to do that.
Real quick, Jordan, I know this has been a journey for you this year, going through camp with San Francisco and then back to Philly and then back to San Francisco. But what was last week like for you to be able to experience that whole run to the Super Bowl, even though I know it didn't go the way you guys had hoped?
Yeah, man, it was cool. I would say it definitely motivated me a ton. You know, I think, the hardest part was when it came down to those final roster cuts. At the end of training camp here at San Fran, when I didn't make the team at that point, that's kind of what pushed you in that little cycle of just like no man's land, because as a six-year vet, I don't know how much preseason film is going to help. I have enough game film so coaches know what I can do, but not making the team, you know, when you're going to that first week, if you are on a roster for the first week of the season, then your contract's guaranteed for the rest of the year. But if you don't get signed, if they wait to sign you until week two, then it's pretty much on a week-to-week basis, basically. And so once I didn't get signed after week one, I was like, okay, week two, I'll get picked up. Once I didn't sign after week two, I was like, all right, I tell him, baby, we might have to sit around for a little bit. We might have to wait. It might be a long year. And so I think just the start, the way the year started kind of put us behind the eight ball. But I'm still extremely optimistic. I'm still a competitor. And if anything, just going down there to the Super Bowl, obviously coming up short, but also not having a chance to play has really motivated me. I've already started talking to my wife about where I'm trying to train this offseason, how I'm trying to get my body and my mind right to have another go at this in year seven. So I'm still highly motivated. I still know I can do it at a high level. So if anything, it was humbling, but at the same time, it was extremely motivating.
With that being said, as we wrap this up, I'm not saying you're retired. I understand, but you also are smart enough to have life after football. You just said you're going to grad school. I know you can do a lot of things when this chapter of your life closes. So what do you want to do? Like I said, I know you still want to play. You just made that abundantly clear. But what is – I mean, because you could do what we do. I mean, communications, broadcasting, for sure you could get into. But what is your love? What do you think is the path you're going to take after football?
Yeah, man. I appreciate the question. You know, number one, man, above all, I love my family mostly. And so the biggest thing is, we were fortunate enough to get some land out in Nashville. I'm not going to say where because I don't want nobody snooping around my property. But we were fortunate enough to get some land out there in Nashville, man. So, you know, we want to live there. And my son right now, he's one. And literally, my son hadn't even turned two yet. He's been to Jamaica. He's been to Paris for the World Cup. He's been California. He's been everywhere, you know. And so once me and my wife are done playing sports, I want to give him the same sense of normalcy that I had as a kid. My dad did not play professional sports. He was not famous, and there was not a day that I didn't think I was the happiest kid in the world. So I don't think that I have to do things or be like that or be famous, have this high level, crazy level of prestige for my son to have a great upbringing. I just want to give him some level of consistency, him and whatever children we decide to have after that. So I would say the first thing I would do is I would definitely want to be based in Nashville. I want to work at the university. I want to help in any way possible when it comes to sports. Do I know a capacity yet? For sure. I do not know. But that's why I'm studying sports administration. I'm taking sports law. I'm taking sports ethics. I'm going to be doing all this stuff online right now and over the next 2 years. So when it is that time to make that jump, I'll know, like, okay, this is the area I love to insert myself in. How can I help guys? How can I be of service to the university? So I would love to work at Vanderbilt, obviously, at first when I'm done playing. I'd want to probably be there until my son ends up graduating at least high school. Are all my kids, because like I said, I don't want to move my kids around. Yeah. I love all my coaches, and I think what they do is amazing. I can't they sacrifice so much. I tell you what, man, the amount of times I've seen so many of my coaches have to move and move their families, that type of strain, I just don't wish that on anybody, and I wouldn't wish that on my wife and myself. So after that, though, I think when my son will go to college, you know, or all of my kids are out of the house, I think at that point, me and Mama wouldn't mind having a little bit of an adventurous lifestyle. So I would actually think about potentially becoming an NFL GM, spending time around John Lynch while I've been out here. Just an awesome man. Great man of God. Very, very real with everybody he's around. I love the way he carries himself. Love the way he handles the business. And we've had some hard talks, obviously. I mean, I've been fired by him twice. But trust me, he's a good brother. And every single time that he brought me in, say, hey, Jordan, we got to let you go, we still sat in that office and talked for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just about the business of the NFL and what his job is like and, you know, how you get into a position like that. And so I think I'd be interested in that, too, later on. I love scouting talent. I love watching the game. And I took econ. So I think, obviously, working the salary cap would be fun, too. So, you know, it'd be a cool thing. I like how David Shaw, even, you know, the coach at Stanford, obviously he's a coach. He sometimes does some stuff in broadcasting too. So to be able to insert yourself in that any way possible too would be fun. I got Jay Rosh. He's the man. So I could just be like, hey, like, you know, give me a 5-minute segment, bro. I know you got the clout. So it'd be there's a lot of things I'd love to do. But number one, man, I want to create some level of consistency for my family. So I'm looking forward to being in the Nashville area when I retire for a long time.
Let's call John Robinson and put in a good word for him.
That's awesome. By the way, we don't need to help him. Jordan's got it all figured out, as you just heard. By the way, what I said about your son, now even more. I don't want to hear about his bad days. He's already been to Jamaica and Paris. He's won. I don't want to hear about his bad days.
Okay? Yeah, If he complains at all, I'm gonna slap him across the head for you, all right? It's 2020. I might not be able to say that, but I'm doing it anyway.
Oh, man. Good visit as always. We love catching up with you. You'll do whatever you want to do. We know that. And don't be a stranger to the show. We'd love to have you on again down the road.
Anytime, guys. You got my number. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Jordan.
All right, bud.
Jordan Matthews, he's just fantastic.
Awesome.
And, by the way, I just simply said life after football, and he already had his kids graduating and going to college and life while they're after school and what they're going to be doing. You think the guy is a planner?
Yeah. Let me say this. I hope that to our conversation and what we were saying, people over at Vanderbilt, I hope they heard that interview. That's an example of having your stuff together.
And that's somebody who gets it, understands the culture, understands things, and certainly could not hurt pushing Vanderbilt moving forward with all
you
the things
need people like that
that we've talked about. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.